How's it going, guys? I'm Jeff.
I'm Alyssa.
And welcome to the Love That Lasts podcast, where we talk about faith, culture, and answer your questions. Stay tuned. What's up, guys? Couple things. That's going to be... Oh, what were you about to say?
Oh, nothing. I was waiting for you.
Guys, I looked over right when I was saying that, and she was like, that Meryl Streep gif where she's like got her hands on both sides of her mouth. She's like yelling. You probably haven't seen it.
But no,
Alyssa was making that pose right at the mic, like she was about to bring some fire. We're going to do a special little episode. Since we're doing two episodes this week, this is going to be shorter, half the time, 15 or so minutes, and we're just going to do some Q&A. So we probably will get to a couple questions. Here's a good one. Paige asks, how often do you change your Bible reading routine and how do you both decide what to read and when? Now, this one we get a lot, and especially as a married couple, I think we had to work through this differently because I think, it's funny when you get married, you have these ideals of like, we're going to both pray on our knees together for like an hour a day holding hands. We're going to go through the book of Romans chapter by chapter together, you know, read it out loud to each other with hands on each other's heads, blessing and praying. And,
okay.
Well, you have these visions, right? And at least for us, and marriage is, even though that's, a caricature, of course you want to read together, pray together, etc. But I think what we learned...
And some couples do.
Yeah, some couples do. Awesome. But I think what we learned is, like, you just got to do what your personality is best at. Like, how do you each meet the Lord the best?
Mm-hmm.
And we realized that me and Alyssa both radically... We have just very different... ways of how it, what's funny is it's not super different. We just like,
but we
just
really need our like alone.
Yeah,
time
that's
with
a better
Lord.
Way to put it. We don't really like doing it together. We like reading it separate, doing it separate, and then talking about it later. That's our way.
Yeah.
We always will bring up in the morning, what'd you read? I think I asked that every single morning, you know, how was it? What'd you pray about?
When you first started, okay, this is confession time. When you first started to do that, like years ago.
Yeah.
I would get so upset because I was like, oh, he's not reading his Bible, so he's just mooching off of what I learned. Isn't that horrible? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, guys.
I've come a long way.
Speaking of those visions
I just
said
had
earlier,
all
Alyssa
these,
was
like,
the
really
one that, like,
high
yeah.
expectations.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it was even high expectations. I think it's just that they looked different. You thought it was going to look different.
Yeah. But it was bad. If I didn't see him reading his Bible, then I was like, oh, he's not even spending time with the Lord. And that was so judgmental. It wasn't true at all.
Guys, if you can't tell, Alyssa's, I think in Love That Lasts, I called you Holy McHolyson. But it's true, though. You're amazing.
Anyway.
You're born into the baptismal.
No.
So
it was a journey for us.
Yeah, but now to the direct question, like, how do we each do it then? How often do you change? I go in different spurts where I feel like I always try to keep the rhythm of the Psalms. So I feel like I'll always try to read one or two a day or, like, whenever I'm reading, because I don't read every single day. I'd probably say I probably wake up and read in the morning 4 to 5 days a week. And then sometimes I do get in ruts. And for me, a rut is usually when I feel like I'm not able to walk through a book, like where I just don't feel like any motivation to like right now. I feel really good right now. Right now I'm reading through Genesis and Exodus, alongside the John Salehammer commentary, Pentateuch's narrative. So I'll just kind of like take it at my own pace and read that, think about that in the morning. So for me, I feel like I'm in a good rhythm. But yeah, I kind of got in this rhythm where I feel like I switch it up fairly enough to make it feel fresh and new. I don't feel like I put any pressure on myself, but I do get in ruts when I feel like I don't have a direction with my reading. And I don't think everyone has to be like that. Like, some people like to flip around, but for me, I like to kind of go through books just to always constantly be getting at the big picture. But yeah, what would you say?
Yeah.
How often do you switch it up, or what do you do? How do you kind of go about it?
It just looks different. I feel like I'll pick a book. Most of the time I take a book to study or a Bible study. And then once it's over, then I'll just choose something else or just, I don't know. It just looks different in each season what I'm needing. I feel like the last 9 months I was really in the Psalms because that's just what I needed. I read books in between that, like the where I would just read a good book and I would read like a chapter or half a chapter. Yeah. Like 3 times a week. And then sometimes it's just reading a psalm or a chapter of the Bible. And then sometimes it's just journaling and talking to the Lord. So it just kind of looks different each day. And I've learned to give myself grace in that. I don't have to spend an hour studying every day. But as long as I'm just with the Lord and spending time with him and talking to him, whatever that looks like. You know, when I had babies in the house, it was much different. Sometimes I was just reading the Jesus Storybook Bible with them. and singing our Jesus praise songs, you know, so it just, it looks different in every season. But sometimes I'll just, yeah, I'll choose a book or a study to go through. Sometimes I'll just read a chapter of the Bible and I'll journal out, what does it say about who God is, what he does, and what does this imply about me? Those are really good ways to study the Bible. That's really easy. It's free. I feel like it helps you really dig into the word. Usually I always have to have my journal next to me, because even if I just read one verse or one paragraph, I have to journal it out. Otherwise it doesn't really penetrate my heart. So yeah, it just kind of depends. Some of my favorite studies have been, I think it's Myrna Alexander or Alexandra. She writes, what is it?
I don't know.
Attribute of God book. I'm trying to like look for it as we're in the office. Oh, it's called Behold Your God.
Can you see it?
Yeah, that was one of my all-time favorite studies. It's just a really small book that talks about the attributes of God. I thought that one was really good and really encouraging. So yeah, that's like one of my all-time favorite. It's just really little. It's green. I see it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's good. Guys, before the next question, I want to give a quick shout out to this week's sponsor, and that is Easy Kicks. Now, you've heard us talk about them. I love them, actually, because if you guys have kids, you know that they're literally, you spend like $500 on a pair of shoes. Of course, we've never spent that. We spend a bajillion dollars on a pair of shoes, and then they grow out of them 3 days later because their feet are growing like crazy.
No, it is kind of crazy how kids' shoes are almost the same price of adult shoes. You're like,
what is going on with life?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to wear the, because I go.
They're like a quarter of the amount of material.
Well, what's funny is it's almost opposite for me, right? Like, these people don't know, but I basically only wear Vans, and those are like $40, and I wear them for like 2 years until they are just shredded. So like, you know, kids wear, it's basically like that, and then like, you know, they wear them for 2 days. But Easy Kicks is awesome. And so basically what they do is, with Easy Kicks, kids can wear their shoes. They get a pair of shoes from Easy Kicks as long as they want. And then once they're wrecked or too small or they want a new style, they just send them back in their prepaid shipping envelope. And then they donate them to their nonprofit partners. And you can send them back in any condition, super wrecked, dirty, full of holes, or just decent condition. And if you send them back in decent condition, they give them to foster kids for free. And if they're super wrecked, then they recycle them through the Nike Grind program. But it's cool because each shipment comes in a personalized box with fun stickers for the kids. And it's only $20 a month per child, and there's no limits on how often you can keep swapping for new shoes. And they're actually an official partner of Nike, so they get like super awesome styles each week, no catches, no hidden fees, and you can cancel anytime. It's pretty awesome, and I think pretty disruptive to the industry in a good way. So visit easykicks.com/join now to sign up and use the discount code EZLISTEN, the letter E, the letter Z, listen at checkout for $5 off on your first month in the club. Again, that's easykicks.com/join now. Discount code EZLISTEN for $5 off at checkout. Couple more questions. One I thought was really good is Stacy said, how do you trust God with the fear of an unexpected pregnancy when you're not ready for kids? That one I want to say, I don't know if you are married, not married, but it really doesn't matter. At the end of the day, if the Lord is over the fact that, like, he's the creator of life. He's the creator of life, and that child is in God's heart and mind before you get to meet that child face to face. And so God will go before you. He already has by creating that child for you. And there's weird, unexpected, sometimes not obvious grace in that whole journey. I was raised by a single mom. I know a bunch of other people that were, in the sense of how there's obviously it wasn't ideal, but there's still so many blessings, and God still shows up in that in a really beautiful way where you wouldn't want to trade anything. But yeah, or if you are married, just understand that God is love, and love is the opposite of fear. A lot of people think hate's the opposite of love, but in reality, fear is the opposite of love. And so getting closer to God, trusting him, then that love washes over you. Fear starts to subside, and you understand that he is for you and with you and goes before you and protects you. So Stacy, good question. Anything you'd add?
The only thing I would add is knowing that the Lord has chosen you to be this child's mom. And so you know, being a mom is hard. There are things that are really hard about it, but it's also the biggest blessing, like the greatest role that I've ever been given, and that the Lord has chosen you to be this child's mom. And so you are fully equipped to take care of this little one, to know what they need, to have the strength to do whatever is in front of you. And so, and I think just surrounding yourself with people that are encouraging, that'll support you and help you. It takes a village to raise kids.
Yes.
And a village to support their moms and dads. So I think just having your village and just resting in the fact that you are fully equipped to be this little one's child, and that the Lord, I always thought this because Jeff and I got pregnant with Kinsley. It was a surprise, way earlier than what we had planned. But I always thought, like, Lord, you know exactly when she needed to be born, and that somehow within your planning, you knew that she needed to be born at this year because she's going to have these friends and impact these people, or have this person impact her. Like, this is the time that she is. There's that verse in Esther, like, but what if this is, what's that verse?
For such a time as this?
Yeah, for such a time as this. And so knowing that, like, this is the perfect timing, even though your life may not feel like it at all, that God is going to work through it and redeem it and give you all the qualifications you need.
That's good. That's good. Guys, we'll end with this one because I think it's so good. Audrey asked, any advice on sharing the gospel with close family or close friends, or even any resources to help? I know it seems like an odd question, but sometimes it's so much harder to share with those closest to us because of awkwardness, and it could lead to them being offended or not well received. Great question. I think you really have to have a perspective shift, and this is hard because they might not have a perspective shift on this, but you kind of have to frame it or have a perspective shift on, you know, at the end of the day, if they're my family and they're my friends, that means there's some type of unifying love here, meaning like we're in relationship and we love each other. Hopefully, you know, might not be a healthy situation, but, and with anyone that there's love, you know, like your friends and your family, one unifying force is things that you care about, things that you like, things that are important to you in your life. You know, and so for me, I think I just frame it like that of like, if we're going to be good friends or good family, then I want to hear about their life. I want to hear what's important to them, and I want to hear, what matters to them. And, you know, sometimes that's work. Sometimes that's a hobby. Sometimes that's their marriage. Sometimes that's their kids. And so for me, it's just like, yeah, at the end of the day, the most important thing to me is Jesus and following him and what he's done in my life. And so I feel like we sometimes over spiritualize it in the sense of, oh no, like once we whisper the G word, you know, God, then like, it's just gonna, everyone's going to run for the hills, and they might, but at least for me, I got a lot more peace about it when I was like, no, this is a normal part of human relationships, where if you're in relationship with someone, they're going to probably hear about things you like and things you love and things you do and what your life's about. And so I think you can creatively use that logic to kind of frame it and able to bring it up in conversation with family and friends. That's what I'm trying to say. But then in practice, so that first of all, perspective change. And then second of all, I'd probably say, then getting down to the nitty gritty, I think really, you know, just using it, you know, pray, be sensitive to the Spirit in conversations, ask him for help, ask him for guidance, ask him for nudges on when you feel like you should share or shouldn't share. Share your own story. People can't argue with stories. You know, they can't say like, oh, that didn't happen. You can be like, no, he changed my life. And, you know, and the cool part is, while it is awkward, I would agree, with family and friends, probably more than anyone else, because there's no distance. Like there's distance with other people, right? Where they don't fully know you, you know, you might see them for 5 minutes, but when your family knows you, then sometimes it's hard and awkward because you know, they might think you're a hypocrite or whatever. But at the end of the day, you should say, yeah, like I am, like my life was crazy, but I changed, and that's what the Lord does. And so you can kind of always turn everything on its head. But yeah, I don't know. I think really it just comes down to being sensitive to the Spirit, sharing your story, what the Lord's done in your life. And then also a lot of times, this is not always true. Like there's obviously times in Scripture where the Lord just blows someone away and gets them saved, even when they're not looking for it. But I do think most of the time, and again, even in Scripture, it's mainly when like they're looking for it, or at least when their life hits rock bottom, or not even just rock bottom, just hard seasons, because there's something more about the sensitivity of the heart in those seasons. So I would think, you know, be a faithful presence, love them, be around them, be for them, be a really good friend, model Jesus, be creative and different in how you show love so that they would think that there is something different about you. And then I think if there's a hard season or something happens or whatever, then it really gives you a good platform and opportunity to lean in and speak to their life. But yeah, what would you add?
Nothing. I think that's really good. Sorry.
Really?
Yeah. You brought it home.
Well, sweet. Hey, great question, Audrey. I hope that was helpful to you guys. So guys, this is a little nugget episode. This is like only 15 minutes instead of 30, the usual. So hopefully it was a fun little bonus one for you this week. And yeah, we love you guys. Have a good rest of the week.